How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
We need to understand what the misery of God means. Our Father, full of mercy, has also a lot of patience. God does not get tired of forgiving us. We should not get tired of asking Him to forgive us.
And I bet there are a lot of people who might return to the church if it changed. After tonight's celebrations are over, the big question will be whether Pope Francis will be that change.
Don't go changing to try and please me.
Before long, the churches started looking like revival meetings. Chancels were gone, pulpits were gone, baptismal fonts gone, Lord's table gone, because you had to have a stage for the evangelist personality and charisma.
Indiana truck drivers, rubbish, etc.
How do you serve God? A lot of Christians are very concerned about serving God, and they know that someplace in the mix, they're also told to love their neighbor and to serve their neighbor as well. Do the two go together? Are they two separate things? Do you serve God, for instance, at church or doing some kind of church-y thing, and you serve your neighbor doing, well, what? Something else? Does it always consist of something like serving in a soup kitchen? Do you serve God in everyday life? Do you serve your neighbor in everyday life? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 20th of March. We're going to be talking about Christians and vocation. Pastor Dan Freeman and Gene White of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission, will be our guests for the first half hour or so. We're going to talk about the Lord's Supper in Scriptures. Pastor Don Wiley will join us. In hour two of the program, Pastor Ted Giese will be talking about Hollywood and the Bible, television, movies. Can the Bible make that transition? Does it make that transition? And then we'll continue our seven-part series on creation today, the motivations behind an old earth theory. Dr. Joel Heck will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Dan Freeman is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Chehalis, Washington. Dan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also joining us, Gene White. He's a board member and seminar coordinator for Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commissions. Gene, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here, too.
Dr. Freeman, why has the Christian doctrine of vocation been allowed to disappear from many of our churches?
Well, I suppose the short answer is our sinful flesh. The old Adam seems to think that he needs to do something extraordinary for God.
So how would you define, if you would, the Christian doctrine of vocation?
Well, it is that in every station where God has placed us in life, in normal everyday life, by living faithfully as God has called us, we serve God, if you will, or actually, better put, I guess, God serves our neighbor through us, wherever he has placed us.
Gene, what's your layperson's perspective on that question, the disappearance of the Christian doctrine of vocation?
Well, I think vocation kind of disappeared off the radar along with lots of other things shortly after the Second World War. I became a Lutheran in 1961 by conversion as a young adult, actually. And I was into teaching Bible classes all the rest of my life, basically. And never once did the word vocation ever come across my radar until 2001. So that's a long time, from 61 to 2001, not to hear that there even was such a thing as a doctrine of vocation in the Lutheran Church. So it just, you know, it became something that wasn't used, and I think people, at least, you know, from a layperson's perspective, the folks I hang around with, they'd never heard it either. And so it was, again, back to the sinful flesh part, the vacating our connection to our roots, if you will. Vocation was one of those, and there are several other topics that you could put in that same bucket with vocation. But I think people have forgotten that they are there to serve their neighbors in whatever place God has put them. And being somewhat disconnected from that, they're not realizing that wherever they are, they're there because God has put them there, and they're not understanding that connection. And when you don't understand that connection, you can't be very effective unless you're doing things on purpose, if you will, and not doing them naturally. Not being that natural person speaking to your neighbor in love, but trying to make some effort and some project or some monumental food bank drive or something else to think that you're doing something effective.
So, Gene, I'm curious, what difference did it make for you when, after all those years, as you say, as a Lutheran, all those years involved in the lay study of the Bible, what difference did it make when you heard the biblical teaching that God essentially puts you in your stations in life, and the Christian lives before God in faith through Christ and through Christ in love for his neighbor? What difference did that make?
Well, it made a huge difference for me personally. It was like, oh, those dots do connect. There is some connection here. And I had felt something missing. I have to admit that. I felt there was something missing as I was going through my life, that there were things that I was doing naturally, but there was no connection to what I was being taught or what I was teaching. So after this 2001 experience where I actually got into vocation a little bit in doing a class with my pastor at the time, then the dots started making connections, and some of the things that had happened in my younger life started to make sense. It was like one of those aha moments. Here I am.
I sense from you a great sense of relief having realized that there is this teaching of vocation in Holy Scripture and how it applies to your and everyone else's life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was like a breath of fresh air came across my face. You know, just wonderful.
Pastor Freeman, you talk about this Christian doctrine of vocation having three facets. What do you mean by that? What are they?
Well, there are three realms in which we operate in life, one being within the church, the other being within the home and family, and the third being within the society at large. And in each of those three realms, the Lord has placed us in positions where we serve him and serve our neighbor.
How important is it to Pastor Freeman to make that distinction that is made in the doctrine of vocation, that before God, it is faith and faith alone. Before the neighbor, it is love, and not to confuse the two?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. This is where the confusion causes so much problem in modern Christianity, as if there is something in God's essence that he needs from me, so that I need to serve him in some sort of extraordinary way, whereas really Christ dead on the cross for our sins is God's service to me, and then that results in my service to my neighbor, having been justified fully by the work of Christ.
Let's go through those three facets, if we could, Pastor Freeman. The first one you mentioned being our life in the church. What does the doctrine of vocation look like in the realm of the church?
Well, this is probably where it's been most confused by modern American Christianity, with the whole concept of every man a minister, as if the only vocation within the church that is important is what the pastor does on Sunday morning. And so if everybody is going to serve God, then everybody must be involved in the work of the pastor. In fact, the primary vocation in the church is simply, as Luther says in his explanation to the third article, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. So it is that call to faith is the primary vocation within the church, and that is a calling that we all have by virtue of holy baptism.
In the realm of the home, then, Pastor Freeman, the other facet that you mentioned of the three, what does vocation look like there?
It looks like mothers and fathers taking care of their children. It looks like a husband loving his wife as Christ has loved the church. It looks like a wife submitting to her husband. It looks a whole lot like a dad cooking breakfast on Saturday morning, or a mom doing laundry for her children, or attending endless conferences at schools. It's just everyday life.
And what was the third facet that you had mentioned about the doctrine of vocation?
Society, and society at large.
What does that look like? What is vocation, as distinct from the other two that you've discussed, church and home, what does the vocation look like in society?
Well, there again, there is some overlap, you could say, between society and the home, in that for most of us, our vocation in the home extends outside the home as we go to work to support our family. But while we're at work, we are in society at large, and as we carry out whatever God has given us to do in whatever station he has placed us, we do so as a Christian with faith. Also, there are specifically civil vocations, if you will. We've all been called to be citizens of whatever country the Lord has placed us in. In the United States, that means we get to vote. We figure out the issues and have a voice in how our society runs. It's simply carrying out what God has given us to do as we have voice in the society at large.
Pastor Dan Freeman is our guest, along with Gene White. We're talking about Christians and vocation on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
You may be a businessman or some high-degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're going to have to serve somebody.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has three conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Palm Sunday hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, sung by the Children's Choirs of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world following the course of the church's year. So as we head into Holy Week and we come to the end of Lent, we are hearing that music of Lent and Holy Week at LutheranPublicRadio.org, 24/7, absolutely free, anytime, sacred music for the world. We're talking about Christians and vocation. Pastor Dan Freeman is our guest, along with Gene White, on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 20th. Gene, based upon what both you and Pastor Freeman were saying before the break, I can understand that sense of relief that you've expressed already here. It's really just ordinary life, just ordinary things in ordinary life that's now seen in a different light, in the light of the perfect righteousness of Christ.
Absolutely. I often wondered, as I was going through my work vocation and being transferred around the country from one place to another, how that tied in to my belief in God and you know, why am I going from here to there? And it took me a couple of transfers, I got to admit, before I figured out that it wasn't my work that was transferring me. God was using my work to get me transferred for a reason. He wanted me where I wound up being, and there was something for me to do there. I had a what you might call a function to perform, a task to do. And when that task was finished, guess what? I got transferred. And it's just, it's an amazing story. And all of that relates back to vocation. I just wish at the time I would have understood a little better what was going on. But it's a fascinating way to relate what happens in your life back to the vocations in which you are operating and how one vocation prepares you for another, if you will. I could go on and on about that one, but holy cow, part of my life was running our own company, and part of what our company did, guess what? It was to teach seminars. We taught technical seminars around the country in hotel meeting rooms, basically, for about 8 years we did that, and we managed those courses and contracted for the instructors, and I taught myself. And lo and behold, I retire, and 4 years later or 5 years later, we're starting to, well, longer than that, about 10 years later, we're starting to put CLCC together. And what do we wind up doing? Doing seminars. And here I am, you know, managing that function for CLCC. I could never have done this if I hadn't had that work experience years before that. And so you look at that and you say, well, wow, God prepared me to do this by having me do that then. And it just became a natural flow. And so this whole thing of vocation is just a wonderful thing to get your arms around it and understand how God works through vocations. And you kind of move from one to another, and what you've learned here works over here, and it prepares you to work over there, and it just goes on and on. It's just amazing.
Pastor Freeman, speak to that person listening to us who says, you know, the woman who feels like she's stuck in the home with the kids, that other people are out there pursuing their careers and life is passing her by, or the guy who thinks he's stuck in a dead-end job and that the world is passing him by, or people who are being told, look, in order to really be serving God, you got to be super involved in the church in this program or that program. Speak to that person who's still laboring under that false notion of vocation.
Yeah, and it's so, it's tragic, isn't it? Even our society does this to us. You look at TV commercials in the afternoon, and what's it all about? They're about all these colleges and vocational schools that say, hey, you know, are you stuck in a dead-end job and you're flipping burgers and don't you want something better for your life? Or, you know, the housewife and homemaker, don't you want something better for your life? And my question is, hey, you know, wife, you are doing a holy work for God and for your children. If you're not home caring for your children, who's going to be? And, you know, I suppose on the way into the studio in the morning, you stop by some sort of a coffee shop and pick up a cup of coffee for your drive-in. If that's such a lowly, menial job, well, where would we get our coffee on the way to work? Everybody where God has placed them is serving his or her neighbor, and it's a beautiful, joyous thing, not something to be done begrudgingly, but something to be done with joy and freedom, realizing that if you weren't doing it, how would it get done, and how would the people you serve be served by God?
Gene, if you would, finally, tell us about the seminars that you mentioned before that the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission provide on the teaching of Christian vocation.
Well, this is our most recent offering, actually, and Pastor Freeman's been very key in putting it together. What we're trying to do here is make the connection between vocation, primarily, and evangelism and outreach. And there's another whole story. I think we could talk another half hour about that, but how important it is for the laity, particularly, to understand this vocation concept, because that's how they do evangelism, and that's how God works through them to get the gospel message to other people. And that whole idea of the masks of God, or us being a mask of God, if you will, is another aspect of how all that works together. And you know, I've come to the conclusion that there's no way a Christian really can do vocation and evangelism and outreach. Now, I said that backwards. There's no way you can do outreach unless you understand vocation so that you are comfortable and knowledgeable and are doing this pretty much in automatic mode as you meet people on a day-to-day basis and you're able to engage them. I always look at that as when you have an opportunity to speak to somebody about Christ and you don't, that's a missed opportunity, and we need to be very sensitive to when those opportunities arise so that we can speak properly and in comfort to somebody about Christ and the gospel message. I was doing an evangelism seminar one time, and there was one of my critics in the class was saying he was very disappointed about the class because I didn't give him any scripts to use when he's engaging other people, and he missed the point of the class entirely. And he missed it because he didn't understand vocation properly. And if he had understood vocation properly, he would have known that he didn't need a script. It's all about how Christ relates to me personally, what Christ has done in my life personally. And if you can't talk about that, then you really need to do a little self-examination because that's who you are. You need to be able to at least talk about how Christ has impacted your life. And you only do that through your vocations. And God works through you and doesn't work all the time, but the Holy Spirit harvests where he will. But that's a burden that's off our shoulders because we don't have numbers to meet and quotas and all that other stuff that the decision theology folks use to try to motivate folks. We just do it naturally with God.
Folks, you can find out more about these vocation seminars provided by the Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Gene White is a board member and seminar coordinator for the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission. Gene, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. Been a pleasure.
And Dr. Dan Freeman is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Chehalis, Washington. Dan, thank you again.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper in the Scriptures. It's found several places. Is it more than just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians? And is there any reason, when we read those passages and the others that pertain to the Lord's Supper, to doubt what Jesus says of the supper? This is my body, this is my blood. We'll answer those questions on the other side of the break on this Wednesday afternoon. It is March the 20th. Pastor Don Wiley will be our guest. It is such a relief to know that our righteousness before God avails solely because of Christ, and we are now free, completely free, to serve our neighbor with all we've got. We'll be right back.
What he did on that cross is more than enough. Look around you. Who is your neighbor?
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Iceland's known for paving its own course among European nations, and in this case, they're going the right way. Iceland's interior minister is drafting legislation to ban the dissemination of pornography. The evidence is overwhelming. Pornography increases the incidence of sex outside of marriage, which in turn creates more unexpected pregnancies and abortions. The legislation the interior minister is working on would block porn on all internet-capable devices such as smartphones and computers. He seems to have broad support. Educators, the police, and those who work with children have endorsed the idea. Iceland already prohibits the publication of porn on their soil. It's estimated up to 30% of all web traffic is related to porn. So I hope and pray other nations will follow Iceland.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait,